Hello and welcome to this bonus episode of the podcast. The reason for this is I read a quote this week, and for some reason it's just like really stuck in my head and has resonated with me quite a lot and kind of clicked in many ways. And I realized that different things resonate with different people, but I thought that others might resonate with this too or have opinions on it too. So I am interested in your feedback. And the quote was, 98% is harder than 100%. And when I read that, I was like, damn, that is so accurate. And my interpretation of this and why I think 98% is harder than 100% is that when you're at 98%, you're not fully committed, which means that you are going to have to continuously make a choice to recommit. And that's exhausting. And in psychology, they often refer to that as decision fatigue. Or if you think about a finite amount of willpower. So for example, you are relying on willpower to make choices again and again and again. Let's use the obvious example, which would be dieting. This is one of the reasons I think flexible dieting can be really quite hard to stick to, because you have a choice every time you eat to eat basically whatever you want, and you have to use willpower and make a decision as to whether you want to eat something that is going to align with your goals or something that is probably going to give you immediate gratification. And the problem here that often occurs with dieting is that when you rely on willpower, it leaves you open to be overwhelmed by certain situations and make choices that, if you'd been able to have a sort of broader view of yourself, your situation, and what that action was going to do in terms of bringing you closer or further away from your goals, you might not have made. And the real point with being 100% committed to something is that once you make that commitment, you never have to make that commitment again. And I think that's what really clicked for me. So the example that I was thinking of is, let's say you are committing to being 100% vegetarian. Someone who is a vegetarian is not making that commitment every day, every single meal, every single time they eat something. They might have made that 10 years ago and they've been a vegetarian for 10 years. They're not using willpower to avoid eating meat anymore. It's just not something they would do. They're 100% committed. They made that decision once and it's done. Now, on the flip side, if someone is 98% vegetarian, meaning that, you know, on the odd occasion, they'll allow themselves a little bit of something. Maybe they allow themselves a bacon sandwich on Christmas Day or something. I don't know, whatever it is. They have to make a choice continuously whether they're going to allow themselves that little bit. So at every meal, they're like, oh, actually, that bacon smells really good. This could be the opportunity where I have that little bit of bacon. They have to use willpower again and again and again. Whereas if you have committed 100%, you make that decision once and then you don't have to make it again. And another example of this is other rule-based dieting, so something like intermittent fasting. You don't wake up every day and think, oh, will I have breakfast or not? You make that decision once, you're sticking to it, and you know that you're not going to eat till 12 o'clock if you're doing like a 12 to 8 eating window type thing. You only have to make that choice once. There's no ifs, there's no buts. You're not continuously having to use willpower to make that decision again. And one of the key things about this is that it opens up a hell of a lot of brain power, or not brain power, but like more time and focus to think about other things. So I was actually speaking to Claire about this. Claire was on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, if you don't remember. But we were talking about this and I was saying how much this quote had like sort of clicked a few things for me about psychology and how rule-based diets, and probably one of the key reasons why they get such good results, and how people who do sort of vegan or vegetarian diets find it relatively easy to stick to them, or even more extreme diets like the ketogenic diets, where you're just one rule, like you're cutting out carbohydrates, you don't have to think about it again, that's your rule, it's done, it's in place, and how much harder flexible dieting is, but how there is huge benefits to flexible dieting. And she was talking about her experience of prep, and she said that, you know, on her first prep for a competition, she took a more flexible dieting approach, and she said by the end, you know, when you're very lean and really all you're thinking about is food and it's becoming quite obsessive, by that stage she was spending so much time thinking about whether she could fit in, like, oh, I don't know, like a little bit of peanut butter in her oats in the morning, but if she did that, then later on in the day she wouldn't be able to, I don't know, have a snack because she would have used her fats and her calories for that day, and like if she'd move stuff, like could she fit this in after dinner, and kind of like really obsessing over trying to stick to those calories and making these decisions at every single meal and overthinking everything basically. Whereas the second time she did prep, she stuck to a more of a meal plan, which normally, and as anyone who's worked with me for more than 2 minutes knows, like I'm not a big meal plan person. I don't really mind meal plans if you've made them yourself based around foods that you enjoy. Now, not if I've made them based on arbitrary foods that I've thought of, which, you know, some of them might be there because they're good to have in your diet, but a lot of them would just be there because, I don't know, it's what I eat and it's what I like. I can't possibly know what you like or what's on offer in Tesco that week or what you fancy or what your partner's having, etc., etc., which is why flexible dieting is so important. Back to my point, which was that she found it a lot easier on more of a meal plan based diet purely because she didn't have to think about it. She'd made a choice or a decision that she was sticking to this meal plan, and she only had to make that decision once. It wasn't every single meal, what am I going to have? How is this going to fit into my calories? How is this going to affect the rest of my day? It's one choice, one decision, that, and then there's no more sort of willpower, there's no decision fatigue. And that's why it was so much easier to stick to it in that situation. Now, what I'm not saying is that you should all stick to meal plans, although if you are finding that maybe you're suffering from something like decision fatigue, then simply planning ahead and sticking to that plan. So for example, at the start of the day, you plan ahead your meals for that day, or maybe at the start of the week, you sort of do a bit of a meal plan based around foods that you enjoy, based around social occasions that you have. It's not meant to be overly restrictive, but it's a plan. And then you stick to that plan, and then you've only made that decision once. And what tends to happen is it's extremely hard to make these decisions and use that willpower. For example, if you are very tired, and we know for a fact that that can impair your ability to make good decisions. So one example of this, and it's why I always have clients who maybe work, not even who just work like night shifts or late shifts, but even people that are really busy at work and they're maybe not getting home until 8 o'clock. And what often happens is they're kind of beyond hungry, because a lot of people, especially people who work shifts or have really important jobs like being nurses and things, you can't just be like, oh, sorry, it's my lunch break, I didn't care that this patient is in a huge amount of trouble. Like maybe they get to the point, which I try to avoid with people, where they're sort of over hungry. So let's say they've had a really long day at work, it's been a stressful day as well, they've not eaten all shift because it's been so busy, and then they get home and they want something quick and easy, and they don't have much willpower left because they're tired and they probably want a bit of comfort food. If you've not already planned ahead and already made something and have something there that you've already made a decision to have, it's very easy to just sort of grab the first thing or order something. Or if you're going into Tesco on the way home, it's much more likely you're going to pick up a packet of crisps and some chocolate as well, and maybe some ice cream, blah, blah, blah. If you know that you've already planned a meal at home and it's ready, well, it's there to be heated up, whatever, it's much more likely you're going to go home and have that. So I know that tips like plan ahead, or every Sunday when you're always annoyed because I'm like, guys, plan your week ahead, it's Sunday. I get that they're really simple tips and you're probably like, yeah, whatever. But actually, if you implement them, they work. And this is the reason why. Going back to the quote, and I think probably what resonated with me most is I really struggle with, for some reason, it always happens with travel. So I will literally spend ages and ages and also loads of brain power going over like different options when it comes to traveling. Should I take the train? Should I fly? You know, should I leave on this day? What if I left on that day? But then I'd need another night in the hotel. Like, what? Frankly, it does not matter. And all I've really done is waste like a couple of hours thinking about it, looking at different options, when actually it would have taken me like 2 minutes to book, and then I could have got on with actual productive stuff. And I kind of, well, I massively hate wasting time. And once the journey is booked, obviously that's it, committed, set in stone, like I'm not going to change it, it's done. You make that decision once and you never have to think about it again. And when it comes to dieting, what often trips us up is the fatigue of making those choices every single day or multiple times a day. And that's why we focus on habits. That's why we focus on changing how you view yourself and who you identify as, because as you become a different person, these habits are instilled. So if you are the kind of person who looks after themselves, who exercises, who eats well, who always strives for self-improvement, and strives for self-improvement from a place of self-worth and self-love, then you never have to make those decisions again. They become part of who you are. And that's kind of what I mean by 100% commitment. I don't mean 100% committing to an arbitrary meal plan. Yes, of course, there will be times where, you know, things change and you have to be flexible. But if your commitment is always to bettering yourself, and that sometimes that might mean having a meal out that's over your calories, but actually you're supporting a friend and they need someone to speak to, blah, 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 any example will do. The 2% difference between 98 and 100% is kind of like the chance you give yourself to opt out of something. So my advice would be picky about what you commit to, but fully commit to it. Commit to it once, and then you never have to make that decision again. And I know that a lot of people see diets as a short-term thing, or a get-fit plan, which is 6 weeks, or pre-holiday, or with an end date in sight. And I know you might be thinking, Emma, you do know Commit to Six is a 6-week program. But the whole point is to instill these behaviors and these habits so that you can use them for the rest of your life, and the education and the support that you get. And obviously, everyone is more than welcome to stay on, and I hope that many people do stay on. But the point is, it's not meant to be 6 weeks of unsustainable living where you learn nothing and then you're back to where you were at the start after a couple of weeks because you've not been able to instill these habits into your life. I want you to consider, what would happen if I did this for the rest of my life, if I committed to this for the rest of my life? And what I don't mean is that if I was dieting for the rest of my life, that would be stupid. You would die if you were any good at dieting. But what I mean is that if you adopted a mindset where you focus on bettering yourself, which is, you know, the whole sort of ethos behind Commit to Six. It's also the whole ethos behind Team You, one-to-one coaching, where we're supporting you to your goals to better yourself. And inevitably, as you meet and surpass those goals will change, adapt, and grow. So I don't mean I want you to commit to 12,000 steps every day for the rest of your life, or sticking to X calorie goal and tracking calories, or hitting this much protein, or always doing your morning routine. If that isn't something that, you know, works for you, you don't get benefit from it. But what I mean is like a commitment to self-development, to your physical and mental health, to being the best version of you, not just for you, but for everyone around you. So the specific methods and behaviors may change, but the underlying drive is something that I hope you all intend to commit to for the rest of your life. I think that's probably enough of my rambling. I hope it's been somewhat enjoyable, and I look forward to hearing your thoughts on that quote and how you interpret it, and if it resonates with you in the same way it's resonated with me, which has clearly been quite impactful.